Want consistent color for every job? Mylow's Pro Rewards members get a 20% paint discount on future purchases after paint annual qualifying spend reaches $3,000. Plus, order eligible in-stock paint and paint supplies by 2 p.m. for free same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Improving is easy at Lowe's. Excludes spray paint and mist tints. More exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Subject to change. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Same-day delivery valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. Details at Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Dylan Lane.
When you see something like that happen, and you see an object fly across the room, obviously a light bulb is light, but still, it's flying across the room and shattering. Yeah. It's what goes through your mind when you actually see something like that happen? Because it almost puts another level of possibility into the world of investigating that you could be physically harmed if something had the energy and had the intent to do so, it seems.
Oh, absolutely. When that happened, I took off running down the hallway. I screamed, I took off running down the hallway, and then halfway down the hallway, I stopped, collected myself, and then went back. But after I went home after that weekend, I sat back and thought, like, okay, now I know this can happen. But instead of trying to keep it from happening, me being the investigator that I am, I'm trying to see if I can document more of it. Mm-hmm. So instead of trying to back away from it, I actually started wanting it to happen more. You know what I'm saying? And so I go into these locations and I don't try to make it happen. I'm just trying to see if it can happen again, because it hasn't happened since, you know, at least not there.
You had said that the aggression at the location had been ramping up almost since you had that experience there. How has that occurred? Yeah. How has it continued to level itself up?
I'm feeling that now that people are starting to know who this is, we're starting to put more and more pieces of the mysteries of the hotel together, because there's a lot of like weird, mysterious things that have occurred, a lot of weird stories that have come up over time and throughout documentation, that there's a lot of like possible murders that have occurred there and stuff, but it was all kind of down low. Mm-hmm. And now we're bringing it up more, and I think that whoever these more probably the culprits of these things, now that we're finding out more and more of it's happening, we are starting to pick up on it, and they're starting to pick up on us figuring it out, and they're trying to keep that from happening. So the activities spurred a lot more aggressively towards a lot of people. Like, there have been people that have been forcefully pushed out of a chair. One of my investigators, one of my buddies, Tyler, he's been physically assaulted there twice. He was, I guess you could say, puppeteered to step up the stairs, and he fell down the stairs, halfway down the stairs. And then he's been scratched there big time. Like, it wasn't just a single scratch. Like, his whole, like, almost his whole back was just covered with them. And so I think that that's probably why it's happening, because we're starting to figure out the more darker side of the history of the place, because there is a darker side to it.
Is there an inherent risk in doing that with a location when you have investigators come in on a fairly regular basis, all trying to get something captured with this spirit that clearly is not very happy that anyone is there, trying to understand their story? What's obviously we know it's there. What's the goal with communicating with something like that doesn't really want to be heard? Is there ever a come to Jesus moment with a spirit like that, where, look, we know you're there, let's be cool? Or is it just show us what you got?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, like I said, there have been hundreds of different investigators that have come in and out of those doors over time. And I imagine they've all had their own ways of communicating with the possibility of Jim Miller. But I think the goal is that, as of right now, it's only a possibility that it's this particular person. I think the goal is to find out if it's 100% true, because I don't think anybody has actually documented whether or not it's actually him. So I think that's definitely part of it, to try to documented, because that's a huge, like right now he's the attraction, but is he really actually 110% confirmed to be there?
Is he that person, or is it something, you know, pretending to be that individual for the storyline, if you will?
That could be it too, because I don't really exactly know how the it got started, like how they figured if it was him. I think maybe they were doing a spirit box session, and somebody captured a name, Jim Miller, or something like that, and that's when they started digging into the history of this person and knew that he did run around here. He did go to the Old Park Hotel during his Bordello time. There's actual documentation of that happening. So that right there is kind of there's clues, but the puzzle is still not, I don't think, 110% solved yet. And I don't know if it ever will be. As of right now, I think it's just, it could be him, it may not be him. You know, but I have a feeling that it is. Me, Dan, and Connie, we all have, like, we're pretty much set on it is him. But at the same time, you got to think in the back of your mind as an investigator, you know, is it really?
Do the spirits at the Old Park Hotel interact with one another, or are they all kind of on their own plane of existence?
I have a feeling there have been times where we've captured what sounds like possibly spirits, you know, communicating with each other. When you're down there, when you're sitting in the bottom downstairs, there's this little sitting room. They have a bunch of stuff where people just kind of hang out. And this right above the upstairs, like hallway cross section, and they have wood floors. So you can hear like what sounds like boots and people walking around up there. So I have a feeling that there's a lot of times where, you know, and then you hear like a couple people like conversating. So I think that there is times where the spirits will actually communicate amongst themselves, but whether it's, you know, them talking about us or trying to figure out what's going on, or if it's just residual energy of the location replaying moments from its past on a loop at times.
Do you feel that sometimes when a location like that and various investigators go in with different tactics and such, and you already have a location that seems to be magnetic to spirits before an investigator ever set foot there, are more spirits drawn in to locations like that, like the Old Park Hotel, when they see that this has become kind of a beacon of people wanting to communicate with the other side?
Yes, I do believe so, because Ballinger is a haunted town. There's several locations there that are, in fact, you know, haunted and stuff. People have documented stuff there. There's the old Texas Grill that has a spirit living in the old apartment upstairs. That's like the Ballinger's resident ghost, I guess, ghost story, I guess you could say, before the Old Park Hotel even did anything. Because like I said before, the old owner, she was really hush-hush about all that. So no one really knew about how intensely haunted this place was until after Dan and Connie acquired it. So I think that now, and also it's right across the street from the jail. Now Dan and Connie are getting access to the jail to let people go and investigate from time to time. And we believe that there's a lot of conspiracy that would happen between the jail, because the jail is also intensely haunted, and the hotel. Plus the hotel, where the hotel is, there is a lot of telephone wire and electronic poles everywhere. It looks like a spider web. It's everywhere. So I think that the spirits of Ballinger are using those to travel from location to location, because we've captured stuff like Texas Grill and stuff like that. So, and I think with the whole connection between the jail and the hotel is, the story goes that we believe that guards were raping and impregnating female inmates, and they were using the hotel as a place to go do abortions. So,
oh, wow.
That's the story.
That's the story. Is there any history to back it up? I mean, I could see how one could put some dots together of, in theory, this maybe is how it worked at one point in time on how people would operate. But is there any legitimacy to that argument or stories passed down of, this is what, you know, my great grandpa said was happening there, or something of that nature?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, that the town boogeyman type of thing, that kind of story, not so much as being that, but kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people have came in there and documented doing spirit box sessions. I think they kind of got responses and stuff from both the jail and the hotel that kind of counteract with each other or interact with each other to the point where that was what was, those were the pieces and that was the puzzle that was put together from those pieces.
Okay.
But like I said, I don't know for sure if there is actual factual documentation of that, because I don't know if the city has come forward to confirm that, or if any historian from the area have come forward to confirm that. But those are the things that I hope to uncover when I film my largest filming project that I've ever done there next year.
When you're investigating a location like that, I mean, what is the ultimate goal for a place like the Old Park Hotel? Is it to just get as much documentation out of it as one possibly can? Is it ever to find some peace for the spirits that seem sometimes to try to communicate a message? Or, I mean, is there even a direction? Does one even know where they're going with it as, you know, time progresses? Because it's a whole new world where we pick these locations and then we start studying them, and this sort of thing really hasn't existed where locations still exist for the sole purpose of investigating. What's the ultimate goal with a place like that?
I have a feeling that the ultimate goal for me is to, for that location, you know, is to find out the 100% truth of it. Because like I said, there's a lot of history there, good and bad. I want to find out the truth behind both of these things. And for others, I believe, and with this location, for others, I believe they want to go in with one way, but the location itself will throw them in a whole different direction. There have been people that say they want to go in there to try to bring peace to the spirits. They want to, you know, communicate like we should, and all of a sudden, boom, it's totally different from that. And all of, they're like, okay, we're going to do it this way. And then they end up leaving the location because they couldn't handle it, because it throws them through a whole different loop. It's like an investigative loop that the location just wants to throw people into. It's like they know, okay, these spirits want it done this way, but this one is going to be like, no, you're going to do it this way. It's a whole different vibe there.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Dylan Lane. Thank you to him for joining us on the program and sharing his experiences with us. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.